Welcome to South Haven Business Beat. Business and community leaders talk with us to provide invaluable resources to aid the business community.
Hey guys, thanks so much for joining me for another episode of South Haven Business Beat, where we sit down with small business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders to give you tips and tricks for how to do business and to live life better. Today, I have the distinct pleasure of sitting down with Ms. Brandy West and Anthony Wood with DeSoto Family Counseling and Pediatric Therapy Center. Thanks so much for joining me, guys.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So tell me a little bit about yourselves. Mr. Anthony, how did you get started in this therapy world? And tell me a little bit about that journey.
Started back in 1998 at University of Mississippi, and just left the military and came back in and went to college for that. And then somewhere around 2005, I went back to work for the federal government with the VA for a long time. And then a friend of mine actually started DeSoto Family in 2001. And she married and moved to Georgia and called me and asked me if I wanted to buy the practice. So around 2010, my family and I left from Texas and came here to DeSoto County and started practicing.
Awesome. And how did you come to be a part of the journey? Were you in the original crew?
Oh, no, I was not. I'm very fortunate to be connected to them through a friend of theirs. And I actually moved in next door to her and, you know, was talking with her just as a neighbor, like, help me figure out what are the mental health players in the Memphis area, because I was new and looking for a job after COVID. You know, everybody was kind of on a hiring freeze. So I was paneling everyone I knew. And she was like, well, let me call Anthony and let me see if they're hiring. And that's how I got connected. He hired me on as a PLPC, which is just a provisionally licensed counselor right out of graduate school.
Okay, awesome. Okay. So that was something that you were already in the works of being passionate about, knew that that was an area you were wanting to go into?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a long process to become a therapist. So I was deep in the, like, postgraduate trenches there.
Hey, that's mind blowing, because I'm like, I can't even imagine. I know that everybody, there's a person that says everybody needs a coach in life. I am a firm believer that everybody needs a therapist in life too.
Absolutely.
So if you had to tell me one misconception that everybody says about counseling, what would you want to share and say, I'm going to clear this up?
That you're going to come into that counseling center and you're not going to be judged. You can come in and be who you are and talk about the things that you need help with, free from judgment. And that's a very scary thing. It takes a lot of interpersonal strength to get out of your vehicle and walk into that door and tell an absolute stranger what's hurting you. And so I just want people to know that it's okay. You know, you're not judged. You can come in and you can be yourself and talk about the things that are bothering you.
What are some of the biggest things you find in your clientele that are coming in now? Is there a particular area? Are you seeing more families that are needing help on just emotional transitions? Is this more business people dealing with burnout? Like, what is your bulk of your clientele look like?
We get a mix of both. We have a lot of different therapists there that offer different types of stuff. We have a play therapy center that's just specifically for play therapy. And then we have our adult side that handles teenagers and adults. So we get a mix of both. I guess one of the biggest things that we've seen over the last several years, one of the hottest topics is autism. We've seen a big increase in autism. So we have a lot of that going on in our play therapy center. But right now, I think one of the biggest things we see is stress, but especially financial stress.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be a forever component to stressed out mental health, I think. At the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to create more opportunities for our members and community to share their story. And this podcast is just one of many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't make it happen without Pure Focus Media, the creative team behind the scenes helping make us and a lot of local businesses to look and sound their best. Pure Focus Media is on a mission to make high-quality video and content creation accessible to businesses of all sizes. From strategy to production, they help tell your story, attract more leads, and grow through the power of video. If you're ready to level up your brand, you need to visit purefocus.media and schedule your strategy call today. For you, Miss Brandy, you're the assistant director there, so you kind of oversee all the things and keep folks running smoothly. How many practitioners do you guys have underneath you? With you having both the children's side of things and the adult side, I would imagine you have a pretty large group of people.
We do, yeah. We have over 35 providers now because we have mental health therapists, medication management professionals, like some psych nurse practitioners and a physician's assistant. And then we also do pediatric therapies for kiddos as well. So PT, OT, and speech for all the littles. And so, yeah, we have over 20 mental health therapists and over 35 providers in general.
Wow, that's incredible. So what are some of the biggest things that, like warning signs that friends, parents, coworkers, family members, they should be paying attention to in just their basic surroundings? Because I know I spend more time with my coworkers sometimes than I do even with my own family. And that's something that's huge in our area is people do work long hours. So you invest in these people as much as you do in your families. What are some things that we should be looking for in these people that we're spending time with to kind of go, hey, something's not quite right. Something's not quite okay. Maybe we need to seek outside help.
Some of the things I would say that you can look for is change in personality, rapid shifts in mood, people that withdraw from things that they would normally be taking pleasure in, whether it be a leisure activity or a social activity. When people start to withdraw, need to start looking for things like that. With your kids, change in play, change in how they play and what they're playing with. Those things are kind of some telltale signs that there might be something going on for me.
And I think I would add to that withdrawal. I think especially with, I was about to say especially with adults, but I think it's children and adults, right? If something's going on, people tend to withdraw sometimes and isolate, whether that's to, you know, avoid tipping people off that something's not right, or if it's just to, you know, get some peace and quiet, that could be a clue. So yeah, if people are kind of pulling away, then I think that's a great moment to reach out.
Are there some actions that you would suggest people do even on their own, like whether it be in between sessions? Because, I mean, clearly they can't have you on call 24/7 that would just help maybe with the stability with, I don't know. I know when I was in therapy, they had you doing, I did breathing exercises. I did, it was a count thing. And I don't even remember what they called it, but there's a huge technical term, I'm sure you know, where you're supposed to pick out three things that you see and three things that you can feel. And it like re-centers and grounds you.
Grounding techniques. Yep.
That. I'd get there eventually.
Yeah. You did a great job describing it.
You learned. You learned something.
I did. It got me through 3 years of a very difficult work environment. Not here. But yeah.
Practicing any time that you have an opportunity to practice good self-care, whether you're at your desk or you can step away from your desk, anything that you can do for good self-care. I like mindfulness. Jon Kabat-Zinn did a lot on that. And mindfulness meditation as well. So I like, there's so many different techniques that you can do if you just go online and type in mindfulness techniques. One of the things he did was a reducing stress. Several of the activities do that. So I like those because you can do those while you're sitting at your desk. And, you know, it's not anything that's very extravagant where everybody's looking at you across the cubicle going, what is she doing over there?
Right.
So it really doesn't take a lot to, you don't have to put on a big display, but yeah, you can definitely reduce some stress and reduce some anxiety. One of the things you can do though, prior to getting to work is sleep. We don't sleep very well, you know?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of research on sleep and there's a lot of research out there on screen addiction. And we have more and more people who sit there at night and they're trying to go to bed and they're swipe, 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 swipe. And so making sure that you're cutting that thing off in plenty of time to get some really good sleep and kind of let your brain slow down a little bit and get some good rest. So that's part of it too.
I know that screen thing. I was watching probably a podcast or a documentary or something not too long ago. And there's like literally a psychological thing with the blue light that's on the phone with keeping your brain engaged and in a certain mode. And you physically can't turn off a blue light and immediately go to sleep because your brain hasn't had that transition time.
There's a, I saw a research study earlier and I forget who did it, but they came out with this thing called the 3-2-1 rule. Mm-hmm. And it's don't eat anything 3 hours before bedtime. Don't drink anything 2 hours before bedtime and turn off the screens an hour before bedtime. And I thought that was really interesting. So I kind of did a little bit of dive into some of those things and understanding the thought processes behind that. But it's very interesting. So if anybody out there wants to look into that, I think it'll be a game changer for a lot of people, absolutely, especially our children and our teenagers.
Yeah, getting them to do that is, yeah, y'all figure out that secret. Let me know. Right, but that is vital because, I mean, I get the physical, practical side of the not eating so soon because that gives your body time for the digestion process to do its thing. And so you're having that period, but all of it works together. And it's crazy how all of it does just work together for that one common thing. For people that are coming in the doors to see you guys, what can they expect? What is a first-time visitor? What does that look like? I'm terrified. I've never been to therapy before. I'm not even sure I need to be here. What does that look like?
Well, I wish that our first encounter could be face-to-face, but most of the time it's a phone call or reaching out on our website. And so that first hurdle that you get past is like picking up the phone. Or at least answering the phone. Because if you put in your information on our website, then we're going to be calling you. Yeah. So you have to talk to someone on the phone and get scheduled for an intake. And that just looks like giving a little piece of your story, tell them a little bit about what you're wanting. And that way we can get you paired with the right therapist. And then once it's scheduled, when you show up, you'll have to fill out your new patient paperwork, which is unfortunate. I think everything that we start in life these days comes with a packet of paperwork.
Absolutely.
So fill out your packet of paperwork. And then probably about 10 minutes after you show up, you'll go into the therapist's office and you get to spend about 45, 50 minutes with that therapist. Just kind of, I always tell my clients on an intake, today is an interview for you as much as it is an intake for me. Because every therapist is so unique. We're like Baskin-Robbins, like 31 different flavors. So if you leave today feeling like you don't jive with me and you're like, I don't think I'm going to work well with Brandy, then that's okay, right? So like take this hour to ask me, like, what do you do? What do you practice? How can you help me? And I'll be asking you all my millions of questions. And so kind of in that hour, you get a sense of like, what am I struggling with? How can this person help me? And what would our time look like together? Like, what are we going to work on? And that's at least what an adult intake kind of looks like.
Okay. So kind of doing that goal setting, understanding this is what you're wanting to get out of it, that sort of thing. I like that, laying the groundwork.
We have a lot of people that come in that have no idea what to expect. Yeah. And so what I like to do in the very beginning when they come in, I want them to know who they're dealing with, what type of therapy I do. Because they might not be looking for that. You know, there's all different types of therapies or different types of techniques. And I want to let them know, this is what I do best. Now, what can I help you with? What do you need from me? Because I'm here to give you what you need. And I may not be able to be that person for you. But if I'm not, I've got a whole team that can be. Absolutely. So just come in and understand that we're human too. And we're going to listen to you. And we're going to try to find the best fit for you to help you the best way we can.
And I love that you do have so many under your establishment because, like you said, it may not be a good fit. We may just not jive. And I'm like, I know there's people that are, oh, she is way too young. I cannot talk to somebody that's the same age as my kids. I know you had to have heard that because I haven't said that recently, but I did call one of my granddaughters doctors a toddler not too long ago, and I had to catch myself. I'm like, oh, I am my mother. What happened? So, I mean, having a vast array of not only ages, but also different aspects, because you probably have a little bit more empathy in this particular area, whereas somebody comes in and you're like, I understand that, but that's not, and you know somebody three doors down the hallway, and like, that is, she was put on this earth to deal with this particular issue. I love that. How does that transition work? Is that a meeting after the fact where you go to her? I'm just, that's behind the scenes curiosity for me.
Yeah, it usually looks like you know, we're probably having that aha moment in the intake going like, this one is for Sally, right? And then I'll go and talk to Sally after and be like, can you take this person? What do you think about that? And then usually I would say probably the next session, I would talk to that person and be like, listen, Sally's your lady, right? Like, let's go meet her. Yeah. We try to meet them in the hallway, maybe between sessions or something, and then kind of schedule next time.
That's awesome. I love that. Because so many times it's like, okay, this is my person. You're scheduled for my appointments, and let's just do this. You know, I get a referral from my doctor, and they send me to this person. Well, okay, there's not anybody else in that practice, so I'm just going to this person. So that is an asset and a huge value of your company by itself.
We try to do that on the front end with our intake form that people can fill out online, because some people may want a male therapist. Some people may want a female therapist. Some people may, you know, we have male therapists that are younger, they're very energetic. They're outdoor people. They do adventure therapy. So they're doing a boat or a kayak or an ATV, or they're doing something over in the woods and doing ecotherapy. And I don't mind doing some of that, but it's hot right now, and I have to go through the rest of my day. So if I go out there with one of the younger guys and we're crawling through the woods and I come back in covered in sweat and I got somebody at 10, you don't want to come in there and see me like that. Like, what happened to you? So we try to get that on the front end. Like, what are you looking for? What are you looking for your child or your teen or, you know, marriage counseling? We do all types of different things. So we try to pair you up in the front end, but there's a lot of times that we get in there and after speaking with that person, maybe they have an issue with complex trauma. So we want to get them with somebody that does EMDR, or maybe they are really in there. One of these ladies or young men that are into somatic movement therapy, and I'm going to send them over to Brandy. One of those things, or they're a play therapist. They need play therapy. I'm going to send them to one of my play therapists. So we try to get that up front, but sometimes it doesn't work out like that. But once you really get to meet somebody and understand what really could help them the best and meeting them where they're at, sometimes we have to make a change.
At the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to bring more opportunities to our members and to our community. And this podcast is one of the many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't be able to do what we do without the support of our sponsor, Wisdom Integrators. They're the strategic tech partner that makes it possible for businesses to work smarter and not harder. Wisdom Integrators helps organizations harness that power of technology by designing tailored solutions for workflow, automation, process improvement, and digital transformation. For small businesses or large enterprises, they bridge the gap between the vision and the execution. Are you ready to scale up your efficiency and impact? Then you need to come and visit wisdomintegrators.com to schedule your consultation today.
Okay, so I'm intrigued by this outdoor therapy thing. Like, I've heard of and understand the play therapy concept with the children. I think of adult therapy sessions as you come in, you sit down, you talk, you do the thing. That is a whole nother world. What does that, give me some more examples of what that looks like. It's unorthodox to some degree from classic therapy.
Well, if it's nice outside and if you want to come out and you don't want to sit in the office and just sit in the chair and talk, we can go and sit out by the dock and you know, have a coffee or in this weather, ice water and talk about what you know, we can go outside but we have some people that their expertise is in ecotherapy and outdoor therapy. So they do, and it doesn't have to be just with children, it'd be adults. So if you want to come out and take a walk, we have 24 acres there that you can walk around and go down on the lake. And if you want to come out with Brandy and grab a fishing pole and sit outside.
I hate when they ask to fish. I don't like to fish.
Don't ask Brandy to fish.
I mean, I'm going to say yes, and we're going to go fish, but I don't like that. I prefer the walking. But yeah, I think a lot of adults too, you know, to allude to what you were saying, it's also for adults. I've had plenty of sessions where like maybe an adult has been really activated if they started talking about something really tough. And so just going outside and walking while we talk, there, you know, there's a lot of neuroscience that I won't nerd out on you by explaining that is truly regulating to move your body instead of sitting and talking. So it's such a great thing that DeSoto Family has going on, that we have, you know, a beautiful South Haven campus with tons of acreage and lots of like options to do outdoor stuff.
We talked about grounding earlier, and there's a lot of research that says, hey, kick your shoes off, put your feet in the dirt, you know, take a walk. You know, we have a garden. You can come in and do horticultural therapy. We have art, music, all those different things. It's just to give something for everybody. But we do have people that also do OTPT and speech outside as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's just what are you looking for? Do you know if you're into nature and you're into hiking, or you know, go hike with your therapist, or get on the boat and go over to the island and sit on the island and chat, put your feet in the water. You know, just it gives you something different. We see a lot of kids that come in for a lot of firsts, that they've never done anything like that. It's always been on a tablet. Anytime we have a child that's never had an opportunity to do anything like that, then we try to talk those parents into, let me take him outside, or let me take her outside. Let me take her fishing. Let me take her on the boat.
Like,
let me take
her on the side.
Sign the outdoor release. Yeah. And so we see a lot of kids that come out that have a first time experience with that. And they really connect with the therapist. And I think it really gives them an opportunity to open up because they're seeing something different for the first time.
I love that. I've seen that like as being a tool where it's like, okay, so it's a child, so you're doing other things and they almost don't realize that they're in therapy. But the fact that adults do that too. And I'm like, I would so fall for that. it disarms you because you don't have the awkwardness of being inside this confined office, of this structure. This is what it's supposed to look like. It's a conversation with a friend walking. I love that so much. I love that. So I want to do kind of a little quick little lightning round, so to speak. And I'm going to kind of hit each one of you.
Okay.
This came to me like literally last night. And I was like, this is fun. I'm going to start implementing this.
And make sure you put a disclaimer in there that we weren't prepped for that.
No.
I'm joking. I'm joking.
See, on the fly, when it's raw, it's when you get your best material.
There you go.
So, okay. So I've got a couple of little one thing here, one thing there. So what is one thing people worry about far too much?
What people are. Nobody is paying attention to you. Everybody is paying attention to themselves.
See, that's perfect. That is exactly what I want. Look at that. See, and you were worried. What is one healthy habit that people underestimate?
Sleep.
I was going to say water. Drink your water.
Yes. Extraordinary amount of water. I struggle with that. I've got this little bottle that tells me, it's like a little tattletale. So it's like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. You spin a bottle around, it's like 1 p.m., 2 p.m., 3 p.m., 4 p.m., just to make sure that I'm drinking this water as much as I'm supposed to. So that's really good. Yeah.
Sleep and I'm water. Still drinking 9 a.m. at 12, and it's like, shut up.
I don't stop drinking coffee till 12.
You stop drinking coffee?
At some point ever?
No. I just add a cup. So what is one unhealthy habit that people normalize?
Phone. I hate to harp on it, but being on, like, put limits on your phone on every app, whether it's social or shopping or whatever category it's in, put a time limit. We should not be on our phones more than 2 to 3 hours a day, period.
Screen addiction is real.
Nice. Absolutely. What is one thing that everyone should stop saying about mental health?
I would just say the C word, crazy. Everybody, you know, not everybody. I think it's gotten better over the years. The stigma has really like opened up. But I think there's still a misconception that it's for ill people, mentally ill, or people who struggle, you know, people who are a little crazy. Like, healthy people benefit from therapy as well, you know.
One of the things I think is people have to understand, just because you're going to therapy doesn't mean you're weak. It takes strength. It takes strength to go in there, interpersonal strength, to walk in and say, I need help.
Absolutely.
I think that's one thing we need to normalize therapy. Like you said before, mm-hmm. everybody could use somebody. And I 100% agree with that.
The vulnerability that you have to be willing to share and have is a huge strength to be able to do that. So what is one thing that everyone should start saying?
Mental health matters. I think that's a really a cheesy one. That's, you know, for the t-shirt front or for the sticker, but mental health matters. It really does. And something I was going to answer to your question earlier about like, what can you do between sessions and stuff is that it's all connected. I think you said that earlier, is that like, mentally, physically, emotionally, they are all connected. And so taking a holistic view to mental health, just by going to bed early and drinking your water, like those things are part of your mental health. You know, doing a skincare routine that makes you feel proud of yourself, that's mental health. Waking up in enough time to be a person in the morning before you get in your car and drive to the thing you need to go to.
Absolutely.
That's mental health. So I think just the idea, I wish people would talk about it more, like all of these little things matter.
All the little things do matter. And that is one thing I refuse to compromise on. I have my morning coffee and cuddles. I have 2 cups of coffee and cuddles with my puppy before I do any peopling. I cannot people without my coffee and my cuddles. So, yes. Let's see. Is there anything that I haven't asked that you would like to really touch on, talk on? Future excitements for where the group is heading?
Yeah, I would love to brag on us a little bit and say that we have opened a couple of like satellite locations in the past couple of years. We've opened up a location in Senatobia, right off of Main Street, and then in Oxford as well. So we're trying to get a little closer to people who need services, because we have actually experienced people driving from a really long way to the South Haven location, the original spot. And so we're kind of finding that some of these services people don't have a lot of access to. So we're trying to do more, but so far we've got Senatobia and Oxford.
Yeah. Okay.
Resources matter. Community partners matter. It's being able to work with people in your community to provide resources for everybody and not one place. Just because you look at a website and that place isn't for you, it doesn't, don't stop. You're important. You have value and you deserve this. You deserve to be okay. And so finding out the place that fits you, we have great partners with people like Stacy Dodd, wonderful man. He's over at Woodland and they serve our community, and we like to, you know, we send people over there all the time. And we have partners like DPEC, DeSoto Pediatric Extended Care. Have great people over there. Nicole does a great job managing that facility, and Maureen is wonderful. But utilizing those community resources and making sure that you find what you need from our community. And there's a lot of places that you can go in DeSoto County and South Haven. Just don't give up. Don't give up. Find the place that fits you. Find the things that you need and take care of yourself. I think that's, self-care is huge. And sometimes we get busy and we say we're too busy for it, but you can never be too busy for yourself. Yeah. So slow down and take care of you.
You can't take care of others if you're not taking care of yourself. People say it all the time, but we don't live it. And the easiest and the hardest things in the world are the sleep and the water. Well, I always end with asking every person that comes through, especially one that's been a chamber member for quite some time, we like to utilize like almost like member testimonials. So if you could, and you can both answer to it, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Just anything that you have learned or gained that's of value from your time as being a part of the chamber. It can be personally or professionally.
One of the things I like about the chamber is being part of the bigger community. There's lots of events that you guys put on that I like going to and meeting some of the other people in our community that can just basically broaden the network. And the bigger your network, the better you can take care of your people. Absolutely. That's one of the things I really enjoy about it.
Yeah, you took my answer basically. I really enjoy going to the luncheons because not only do I meet really great people and hear a great speaker and get great food, but just talking with all the other organizations, you tend to find partners, right? You're like, oh, well, we can do this together. Let's do an event like this. And so you're networking, you're finding really great quality people, but you're also, like you said, broadening your services. We're able to serve our people better, and they are as well, you know, by partnering with all these different organizations in our same area. And we're so screen, you know, focused these days that I think if you don't go to things like that, you're going to miss out, right? Because I wouldn't be able to make that same connection through something like LinkedIn or you know, some kind of app.
Absolutely. I love that. And that is one of my favorite things about, I mean, I was a chamber member with a small business before the C word that shut us all down for a while. And then I came to be on this side of things. And it's really those connections that you make. And I learned from my transition that instead of, from a business aspect, instead of going in and looking for, I need new clients, I need new customers, I need to build relationships, I need partnerships. Because the clients I have now, if I can add value and have somebody trusted, they need this, I know somebody that can take care of you. Having those referral partners, even if they're not industry-specific referral partners, having somebody in your pocket that you know would treat them well, somebody that you know that you can send them to.
You're not just finding a name on a screen. You're actually touching base with that person and getting to know them and getting... and finding out who they are and what they're about.
Yes. And I love that because now I get to be that connector. And when we go to events and I'm like, okay, what do you need that you don't have yet? And then I will find the person in the room that has that. And we get to be those people. So that's like a selfish little thing for me because I get joy out of it, but it does help the others. But guys, I am so excited. I'm so glad that you guys are here and that you took time to come and visit with me. And your facility is gorgeous, and you need to invite us all out to come and hang by the lake.
Absolutely.
I won't make you fish.
Anytime.
Yeah, I'm going to skip out on the fishing.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining in for another episode of South Haven Business Beat. If you haven't done so, you need to click that subscribe button down at the bottom so that you don't miss a single episode of fantastic interviews like this group with me today. Thanks so much. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of South Haven Business Beat. Would you like to be a sponsor of South Haven Business Beat? Please email us, info@southhavenchamber.com. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources.